We began this morning looking at God's divine interruptions and times that God would butt into our lives. The eternal world would butt into the temporal world. It is magnified in the New Testament with the little phrase, "but God, but God." I don't know about you, but I thank Him for the times that He butted in. I've had some people butt into my life, and I didn't like it. You know, there's a lot of people all the time sticking their nose where it don't need to be. But I tell you, you'll never have God stick His nose in your business if you'll not like it when it's over with. But God. We look at that little verse in 1 Corinthians this morning. Well, Paul said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to God, to man. But God is faithful." It is right in the midst of that darkest hour of temptation we will have the divine interruption of God's faithfulness. And tonight, I'd like us to go a little further in our study. And if God would allow us, maybe we'd wallow around in the divine interruption of God's love tonight. God's love. We've thrown that phrase around, and several of you have told somebody you love them tonight. There is no way you could have ever done that this way had there not been a divine interruption from there to here. It's all because He butted in with His love that we're able to love. You've got the text there, Romans chapter 5. And verse number 6, Paul said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time," that little phrase, "in the nick of time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God," there He is, He's going to stick His nose in. Aren't you glad He did? "But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You may be seated. Divine interruption by His love. Oh, I'm blessed today when He divinely interrupted into my life and just told me that He loved me. And He told me that He loved me before I loved Him. Matter of fact, He told me that He loved me before there was anything about me to love. Matter of fact, He told me that He never had started loving me. Said He'd always loved me. Said He'd even loved me before time began. Oh, I'm talking about a divine interruption of His love. Notice in this text, if you would, we're just going to wallow around a little bit in the love of God. Now, if any time during this wallowing process, if you want to stand up and wave your hand and take yourself a lap around this building, you will not bother me. I will just continue to wallow. Because you just never can tell what will happen when you just, I mean, just go to, it's like an old hog, just go to wallow around in the love of God. And notice in our text, we are confronted with the Almighty that interrupts. The Almighty. It's not just anybody that has interrupted and told you they love you. I know there's several people that have come around tonight and said that they love you. Oh, it's nothing like that. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm talking about the Almighty God saying, "I love you." Oh, that's a horse of a different color. I notice in this text that we are confronted with the titles of the Almighty. The text tells us in verse number 8, "But God." That little word God there is the little word theos. It is the word for the Supreme One. The very exceedingly divine one. It is talking about the magistrate of deity. It is the only word in the Bible that carries a V for it. He's not just any
God. He's not the God of the Muslims. He's not the God of the Catholics. He's the God. The indication of the word theos is that He is the only God. I'm telling you, the only God steps in the tide and says, I love you. I tell you what, honey, you all around and let you kick back in out of your choir robe after a while. Huh? Some of you would shout, and you ain't never shouted. Huh? Titles of the Almighty. But I notice in this text, not only are we confronted with the title of God, but He said that God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I notice in this text that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, verse number 5 tells us. Not only has the theos got in, God in loving us, but the breath of God tonight has blown by. And what is that wind saying as it blows by? It says, I love you, and I always love you, before time began. Oh, the breath of God. I'm glad for the day when the breath of God blowed into my life and said, I love you. I notice the text, though, says in verse number 5, calls Him the Holy Ghost. You know how many people use that term nowadays? They like to say Holy Spirit. I still like Holy Ghost, don't you? How come you like Holy Ghost? Well, you know what a ghost is, don't you? That's the party spirit of a dead person. That's a woo. Is that not what He is? He is the departed spirit of a dead person. When Jesus died on the cross, He released His ghost. Listen, you got any idea where His ghost went? Yeah, come got inside of me. And He's been a-blowing around in me since 1968. Well, what the hell has He been a-blowing around in there? He's been a-whispering to me, I love you. Well, stop right there and shout. Huh? Not only do we see the titles of the Almighty, but God and the Holy Ghost. But in verse number 11 it says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is His name of prophet, priest, and king. I'm telling you, this love thing, God the Father got involved in it. When He loved me so much that He chose me before time began. God the Son loved me so much that He paid redemption price. And God the Holy Ghost loved me so much that He come and applied redemption price to my soul. Talking about the titles of the Almighty. But I notice in this text, we're talking about the Almighty now that interrupts. Who is this that has stepped in and said, I love you? We see His titles here. But I see in this text the treasure of the Almighty. He says in verse number 8, but God commendeth His love. Pay close attention to that word. Do not throw it around loosely. Please, don't go out here and tell everybody that God loves them. Because He don't. Are you listening to me tonight? And if you're going to throw around that term, at least tell them that He said He hated Esau. You say, preacher, don't you think He loves everybody? No, I do not. And I'll tell you why. Because of this little word right here, love. The little word that is used here, that Paul uses here, but God commendeth His love. The little word that is used there is the little word agape. It is not a word that can be done this way. It is only a love that can be done from there to here. The agape love. And I am extremely interested in this, and do not forget this. God does not love. Oh, no, you'll never find God loving. That's an action. This word is not an action verb. Oh, no, 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 no. God does not love. God is love. See, if you love money, you can't do nothing else but love. I love the hand out of that. Don't see, this turns my cripe, get me all excited inside. But this little word, love, here, you say, preacher, how come you would say that God does not agape you? You cannot tell everybody you meet tomorrow, a God agape you. How come? Finds Greek word study defines this word agape as the highest action given his children. It is one of the highest things that the Theos can say to his children. I agape you. I was wondering, has God ever told you he loves you? Has he ever come by? Has the good Holy Ghost inside of you ever whispered to you and said, agape you, agape you? Highest action that God can give to his children. It is shown, this little word agape, now we're talking about vines, Greek word study in defining this word agape. It is shown towards unworthy objects, producing in them a reverence and an awe for the one who has shown the love. If God has ever agaped you, he has ever shown you his divine love. It has left you in awe and wonderment that the Theos will love the likes of you and the likes of me. This little word agape, it is a love that can only be known by the action that it prompts. It's the highest exercise of the divine will. It is God deliberately choosing to love you with no reason for it except something hidden in the divine mind of God. I'm telling you, God has not chosen tonight to love everybody. He has only chosen to love his children. His children. Now there is a love in which God loves his creation. It is a creative love. He said he saw his creation and it was good. There is a creative love. I have known his creative love. Even when I was lost on my way to hell, I know this creative love. I could put a seed in the ground and come up. It'd even rain on me. Wicked as I was, it'd rain on my yard too. But oh, I'll tell you, there's a big difference knowing his creative love and his redemptive love. Or his agape. I'm asking you, might God ever come by and say, I love you? Huh? It is the word we fall short in explaining in the divine that God would love the likes of us. Agape love. I bless the day he divinely interrupted in my life, even before I'd ever been saved, when I was yet in my sins. Said, I agape you. There's absolutely no reason for me to love you, but I love you anyhow. Oh, I tell you, isn't that good? Oh, son, that's a help of me while I'm a preaching. I'm talking about the Almighty that interrupts. But watch the text. Not only do we see the Almighty that interrupts with this divine love, but I am interested in this text at the actions at interruption. What was I doing? What was my actions when God stepped in and said, I've got for you? What was my actions at interruption? I notice that we are confronted in verse number 6 with the actions of conduct. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength. There's an interesting little word. The little word there is impotent. No ability. Don't get to thinking that God come and got you because he thought that you could benefit him. Oh, no, you were impotent. You had nothing to offer him. He didn't look at you one day and say, you're not that right sheep. He didn't look at you one day and say, you know, I know she could sing. I think I'll get her on the team, man. She's sang for me more than we could really go play. Uh-uh. Impotent. But here's what blows my mind. You know, he could have come by. I was impotent. Oh, Brother Ken, I was so impotent. Oh, grace, you're talking about the highest peak of impotency spiritually. I was at the apex of impotency spiritually. No ability to do nothing towards God. And you know, he could have come by and just helped me a little bit. Oh, no, he come with whole ball of wax. He come with omnipotence. Son, I didn't have any power. And he came with all power. How come? Because he said he agape me. Oh, I tell you, I was without strength. That was the action of my conduct. But I see in the text that we're confronted with not only the action of our conduct. I'm talking about what was we like when God stepped in. Said I, agape you. I don't know about you, I was without strength. That was the actions of my conduct. But I notice in this text we're confronted with the actions of our condition. What kind of condition was you in, preacher, when God come down and said he loved you? I notice in verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly. That little word ungodly there is irreverent. Wicked to the nth degree. I tell you what, if some of you knew what I did before I got saved, son, would you ever be scared to be around me? Huh? Oh, I was wicked. Oh, I was so ungodly. Can you imagine that he who is all God, he that is all holy, he that is all righteous, stepping into the filth of my world. I'm not talking about after he changed me, but while I'm yet in my filth, he said, agape you. Son. He said, there's no reason for it. But he said, because of something mysteriously deep within inside of my divine supernatural will, he said, somewhere down in the deep bowels and recesses of my being, he said, I have deliberately decided to love you. And there's absolutely no reason for it. Son, let's stop and have a shout break. You want to? Let's just wave our hands a little bit. We're wallowing now. Huh? We're just going to wallow around in it. Interrupted. The actions of it. Hey, preacher, what was your life when he finally stepped in? Said, I learned, I've got to you. Well, I was impotent. And I was at the peak of wickedness. I'm going to be honest with you. There wasn't much I hadn't tried. Wasn't much I hadn't tried. And he didn't wait for me to... I hear people all the time go, I tell you, preacher, I'm going to get in church soon to get my life cleaned up. I tell you, I got a few things I need to get straight, and there's a few things I need to get lined up, and I'm going to come. You can count on me now. I'm working on it. I'm trying to do better. Oh, no. He knows there ain't no chance of me ever doing better. Huh? He knows there's a lost cause. And I don't know if you know it or not, honey, but he knows you're a lost soul, too. Huh? I know you think he got you towards the top, but oh, honey, he reached to the bottom to get us all, and then he got us all sinned again. We're all ungodly. You say, preacher, I didn't never do any of those things you're talking about you did. Oh, yeah, I know you didn't do them, but you had the ability to. Huh? Oh, yeah. And it's just like you could have done them, that propensity in there to do evil. It was that fallen nature. I'm talking about the actions of my condition. Now, preacher, what was it like when he stepped in and says that he loved you? Well, look at verse number 8. That God committed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. There are There's an interesting little phrase there, sinners. That little word means to miss the mark and not share in the prize. It's a Bozeman term. It means to hit the bullseye, dead center, and thus win the prize. I missed the mark. Every time I'd try to do right, take a shot at what God wanted me to do, the arrows, couldn't hit the mark. Bible said I couldn't share in the prize. Do you know what happened? The prize come to me. Son, the prize said, I got to you. I look. He said, there's no reason for it. He said, but deep down in the resources of my being, He said, I have deliberately decided and chosen to love you. He said, I know you're without strength, you impotent. He said, I know you're ungodly. And He says, I know you've missed the mark. But He says, I've chosen to love you. Oh, can you imagine tonight the likes of God loving the likes of me without strength, ungodly, and a sinner? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth and wonder how He can love me. A sinner can be a man too. Oh, how mighty. Oh, how wonderful is His love for me. Hey, I'm a-watching a lot of you. You ain't a-wallowing much. Huh? Some of you forgot when you was without strength. Some of you don't think you've ever been ungodly. Huh? See, well, I know where He brought me from. Huh? I'm talking about the actions at interruption. But what's the text? Not only do I see the Almighty that interrupts, I'm not talking about somebody. I ain't talking about some preacher telling you I love you. I'm talking about the theos coming by saying I got that. I'm talking about the holy wind of God blowing by. Hey, preachers, the wind singing any song? Yeah, it's singing I love you. I'm asking you tonight, I know you've had people tell you, they love you. You ever had God whisper to you, I love you, I love you? I tell you what, honey, if you ever had God whisper to you, you love you, I tell you, business will pick up. Business will pick up. We see the Almighty that interrupts, the actions that interrupts. But watch the text. There is the availability of interrupts. What is it that calls God to step in and fill the likes of me without strength, ungodly, a sinner, that He would tell me, agape, I agape you. I divinely love you. I have deliberately chosen to love you, and there's nothing within you that would cause me to love you. Matter of fact, everything about you would cause me to have lightning in my eyes and bring hell down on you. Instead, decided to love you. What is it about that that made that availability of interruption? I notice in our text in verse number 8, we're confronted with the who of availability. He said, but God commended His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ. That's a very big word. Who in the world is Christ? The little word there is the Anointed One. The little word there is the Messiah. This is the one that every Jew woman from Eve, starting with Eve, every time a Jewish woman would have a baby, all the way down through the Old Testament, 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, all the way into the New Testament when Mary finally has the Christ. Every time a Jew woman would have a baby boy, she would look at him and she said, maybe this is Him. This is the Christ, the Anointed One. Well, preacher, who in the world is He? He's heaven's high sheriff. Preacher, you got any idea what He's doing tonight? Yes.
same thing he's been doing for the last 2,000 years. What is that? Sitting. He ain't done nothing in 2,000 years. He's been a sitting. He only got up one time. He got up for Stephen's homecoming. That's the only time he's ever gotten up. Bill and Willie never got him up. He's the high sheriff of heaven. I'm not talking about Ken. I'm not talking about Brother David coming by and saying, I adopt you. I'm talking about heaven's high sheriff coming by and whispering to you, I adopt you. Well, what has this high sheriff got the ability to do? Oh, you're talking about ability. He's got the ability to put his hand on God the Father. And he's got his ability to put the other hand on you and make the two of you one. Son. Whoa. I'm feeling something going wild inside of me. Huh? You ever been made one with God? Oh, I'm not talking about just some little old elementary somebody telling you that they love you. I'm talking about the anointed one. I'm talking about the availability of interruption. Who is it that loves us? He said, Christ, heaven's high sheriff, heaven's high priest, the one that is calling all the shots. Hey, that Pope over there couldn't even keep himself alive. Huh? He couldn't keep himself alive. Somebody asked me, said, do you think the Pope went to heaven? What do you think? You hear me and you hear me well. If he left this world believing what he taught, he's in hell tonight. If you hear me, I'll run it by you one more time, real slow. If he left this world believing what he taught, he's in hell tonight. How come? He taught salvation contrary to that book. Oh, I'm talking about the cry. I ain't talking about praying to Mary. How come I would want to pray to Mary when I can go to the high sheriff? Huh? I ain't got to go through his mama. Mama, nothing. She got to go herself. She said after he was born, she said, I do magnify Jesus my Savior. Well, while he was inside of her, I guarantee he whispered to her, agape you. Huh? Not about that girl that was causing. I'm talking about the who of availability. But watch the text. Not only do we see the who of availability, but we see the what of availability. What caused him to love us when there was nothing about us to love? He says here in our text that Christ, heaven's high sheriff, watch the text there in verse number 8. Die! Die! I didn't know if you'd see that ED on die or not. That means it happened before it happened. Oh, yes. Long before he died, he died. Now, in fact, John said when he saw him over there, he looked like a lamb to him, been killed before the foundation of the world. He died. That little word died there means to be cut off from life. He exchanged his life for my death. He exchanged everything that he was for everything that I am. Christ died. Go watch the text. He said he died for. I love that little word for there. That means in the place of my substitute. The reason why he can agape me is because long before he died for me, he died for me. Oh, I love the hound out of that, don't you? Huh? Who did he die for, preacher? The scripture says that he died for us. Died for us. I was a wondering tonight, do you have your Bible there, verse number 8? Do you notice that it's got three personal pronouns in it? But God commendeth his love towards us. Again, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I was a wondering tonight, would you feel comfortable or would it be sort of a tight fit that maybe we would take those three personal pronouns out and put your name in there? I'm not talking about him dying for us. I'm talking about him just dying for me. I'm not talking about him loving us. I'm just talking about him loving me. If you was to read that out loud tonight, every time those three words were mentioned, you just stuck your name in there. And I mean, said it out loud where your ears could hear it. Would you just sort of, you know about that, preacher, it just don't fit. It's just so tight. That's right. You say, preacher, you're making me uncomfortable. I'm trying to. I'm trying to get you to wallow in the love of God. Let's read it. We're going to read it real slow. Cause, see, now when we get to those words, it's going to sound like we're speaking in tongues. Because you're going to say your name. See, when I get there, I'm going to say, Tom Gillum. Whatever your name is, you're going to say it out into the air. You're going to say it loud enough so your ears can hear. What I'm interested in is you check your soul tonight. Because some of you ain't even got a Bible where you could read. There's a hang up right there. Huh? Let's read it tonight. You ready? We'll read it real slow. But God. You can read louder than that, can't you? Yeah. I can tell already it ain't going to fit. Let's read it good and loud, starting that first word. But God commendeth his love towards Tom Gillum, in that while Tom Gillum was yet a sinner, Christ died for Tom Gillum. Some of you, it's a good fit, ain't it? Huh? You know what? Some of you liked it. Let's try it again. But God commended his love towards Tom Gillum, in that while Tom Gillum was yet a sinner, Christ died for Tom Gillum. Oh, I'm talking about the availability of the love of God tonight. The actions that interrupt you. The Almighty that interrupts. But would you look at the text? Notice the application of interruption. I notice in this application, there is an immersion of the outside. God for us. If God has got saved you, there has been an immersion of the outside of you. What's the text? He said, but God commendeth the ETS. It's a continual action. What does that little word commendeth mean? It means to set together two warring parties and make them one. Commendeth. The little word commendeth means to exhibit or to show off. To make one a trophy on display is the little word commendeth. That little word commendeth means to enter into time for the purpose of bringing about the purpose of exhibition, showing off one. Oh, gracious. When I think about that, Brother Ken, I was afar from God, but God stepped in and brought me near. Son, made me one with God. I was at odds with God. I was at war against God. I was against God. I had declared war on Him in my heart. But God made us one. Hey, I wasn't worth shooting. But God come by and made me a trophy to display me. Oh, I'm talking about immersion, the outside of me. Oh, and it's a continual act. It's not just one time that He's done this thing. This love continues to do its work. Continues to do its work. Oh, I love that, don't you? I'm talking about the application. There is the immersion on us. But I notice in the text, there is the invasion
inside of us.
What's the text here?
You got it there. Verse number 5 said, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts.
Oh, there is the invasion inside. That little word shed abroad means to pour out,
to pour upon. It means to liberate with much love being poured into the soul.
Well, preacher, what good is that love doing? Did you see there in verse number 5? He said, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Before he said that word because, he mentions 5 things that were not true of us before God shed his love abroad in our hearts. And when he shed his love abroad in our hearts, all 5 of these things become a reality. What were they, preacher? Did you notice there in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1? He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Do you realize before he stepped in and told me I agape you, I didn't have peace about nothing. Didn't have peace about nothing. There was an unbalance in my life. That little word peace means to be at one. It means to be in harmony with. It means to be in a relationship with God that He'll never lead you down any bad streets. Peace with God. Huh? Preacher was talking about tobacco this morning. Oh, I used to get a buzz with all that stuff. I'm getting a bigger buzz now. I tell you what, you that chew tobacco smoke and all that stuff, do other little things, get a little buzz. I tell you what, you want to get you a buzz? Take tomorrow off. Lock yourself in the room, wallow in the love of God all day. I tell you what, you'd be as high as a kite come tomorrow night. Huh? You won't even know where the bedroom door is. Huh? Oh, I'm talking about the peace of God. See, I never had no peace until he shed a love of God abroad in my heart. Something else that I had. Didn't have before the love of God came by. Look at verse number 2. He said, by whom also we have access. That little word access is an interesting little word. It means acceptance, to enter into with freedom, to come and have an audience with Him at any time. Did you notice those people today? You watch them on TV today? Did you notice how they had to do that Pope when they got there? Had to bend down there and kiss his finger, kiss his hand. I tell you what, no wonder the Pope stays sick. They had a whole world kissing the hand. They're doing like this. They don't tell them what they're going to kiss. Huh? You listening to me? Oh, I ain't got to kiss nothing. I've had the love of God shed abroad in my heart. See, I used to, when I get in trouble, I didn't have nowhere to go. I done wore myself out with my mom and daddy. I couldn't go to them. I didn't have access to go nowhere. But after the love of God was shed abroad in my heart, I had access to Him. I can come to Him 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Oh, gosh, isn't that wonderful? I never get a busy signal when I go up there. I have never heard Him tell me, you here again with the same problem you had last time. Huh? I never called Him up and got an answering machine. Dial 1 if you want God. Dial 2 if you want Jesus. Dial 3 if you want the Holy Ghost. Dial 4 if you want angels. Dial 5 if you want a miracle. Dial 6 if you want Benny Hinn. No! I ain't had to do that! Had the love of God set abroad in my heart. I got access. Never did have access before. I didn't have nowhere to go. Some of you sitting right here tonight, you ain't got nowhere to go. You get in a jam tonight, you ain't got nowhere to go. Well, you might call the preacher telling you in a jam. Well, call him. He's the jam fixer. There's a jam fixer up there. Huh? Access. Oh, I love that, don't you? I notice in our text, he says in verse number 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Joy in our troubles tonight. Oh, every time I got in trouble before, got locked up, saw the jail cell close up in Alexandria, Virginia, the only thing I could do is hang my head and say, oh, my Lord, I'm into it again. Oh, once the love of God shed abroad in my heart. Now I get in trouble. I can keep my chin up. I can have joy now. How come? Because he come by and told me he had got paid me. Oh, I've got peace tonight. I got access. I got joy in my troubles.
But I notice he says in verse number 3, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, long suffering, temperance.
I tell you, before I got saved, I didn't have patience for nothing. Huh? Oh, I was right on the edge all the time. Oh, but now that the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart, you can take a few steps on me now. You can walk on me. You can butt in front of the line in me. I was over at the Cracker Barrel the other day. Two old ladies butted in front of me. In front of the lines. I had a tendency. Something rose up in front of me. And there's something about my hands want to get around their neck. But I felt a good breeze of the Holy Ghost. And it was a saying, I agape you. Oh, I put my hands in my pockets. Huh? Oh, patience, excess, peace, joy in my troubles, patience. But he says in verse number 5, we have hope. It is confident expectations. Oh, I tell you, before Christ come along, I didn't have no hope. Huh? Only thing I could look for is close my eyes in death and go to hell. Huh? I remember many a night being afraid to go to sleep because I felt like I'd wake up in hell. No hope! Oh, but now, I'm the first one to go to sleep. Huh? Oh, son, I can sleep in the chair. I can sleep standing up. It don't matter. I can snore anywhere. I can. I got hope. I can because it comes by one day and says, I got for you. Well, thank God for interrupting me tonight with the love of God. I was thinking today, you know, it's a static. I just get been all out of shape. If one of the children call, when they get finished talking, they say, Daddy, I love you. My son called me this morning, my preacher's pastor down in Florida. He calls me about every Sunday morning, right before he goes to the pulpit. He'll always hang up. He said, Daddy, I love you. And that makes me ecstatic. It makes me get excited. And then one of them grand youngins, that one that lives close by Zoe, oh, gracious, she'll call sometime. She said, Baba, I love you. Son, I just get ecstatic. I just get all tingly, all in fire. Sister back there, she's been telling me almost 35 years she loves me. I tell you what, she told me several times on that cell phone this weekend we was apart. She said, I love you. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Oh, it just makes me feel ecstatic. Can you imagine going to a place tonight where the theos, the high shirt of heaven, the Christ, the wind of God, the Holy Ghost, is going to take all eternity. What you're talking about, preacher, eternity? I'm talking about going up to Maine, working your way down to Key West, taking every grain of sand that's on the seashore and taking it over to the main street from Maine to Key West. After you have removed all the sand along the seashore from Maine to Key West, eternity will have just begun. And he'll take all of that time to tell the lost that he has damned them to hell. And he'll take all of that time to tell me this, I love you. And I was just thinking about how ecstatic I got when Zoe told me, you imagine him, I'm talking about 24 hours a day, for all eternity, with no time involved, him just over and over again, not telling us he loves us, just words, but showing us in deeds and actions. Can you imagine what kind of a static high you're going to be on throughout eternity? Wallowing around in there. I bet you some of you will shout. Huh? I'm talking about the divine interruption of the love of God.